bicycle parts. I looked at a painting, a complete painting that was one line. They never took the pencil. It was one continuous line. And this was a picture of her grandfather. It was just, I mean, they use bottle caps, and it's just amazing the talent that some people have. Interpretations are interpretations. Some of them were a little off the wall for me, but other people liked them. So I just wanted to share that with you. Yes. Lynn.
Friday, I took three Special Olympics teams, all fellows who live here in Sandusky, to this state tournament in Ypsilanti for golf. And we came home with, out of three teams, three gold medals.
Ooh. Good for you. Good for you, Lynn. Good for you. Very nice. Very nice indeed.
328 they've chosen, the choir has chosen.
Pardon?
328 in our hymn
book. Oh, 328 are. We're gonna sing a song in 2 minutes. We're going to sing this song and get it over with in 2 minutes. And it's what? Three what?
Usher us right into worship.
Three what?
328.
328. Lighting our candles this morning are Carly and Mallory. Please quiet our minds and prepare our hearts for worship. You got it. Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. Our mission statement for our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I am Suzanne Hickson, your worship leader for this morning. Let us stand and sing our first praise song, number 2173, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Fill this land with Father's glory.
Please join me in the call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord.
Call up.
Sing praises to our God. The Lord offers bread from heaven to satisfy our hunger. Give thanks to the Lord.
Let us pray. Guide our way, caretaker God, in the wilderness of our lives. Offer us the bread of heaven that we may taste your spirit and be nourished in body and soul. Reveal your presence among us and show us the tender mercies of your love. In joy and jubilation, we pray these things. Amen.
Join us in our opening prayer, our opening hymn, 419, I Am Thee, O Lord.
Good singing. We can have our children come up at this time. How was Sunday school? Good. I'm glad to see all of you here this morning on this pretty day. It's a beautiful day out, isn't it? Sun is shining, and it's beautiful fall day. I'm going to talk to us this morning, all of us. I'm going to talk to you right now. I'm just looking at you. We've got one with glasses. Have you ever looked? My grandkids were great for this. If I'd set my glasses down, one of them would grab them when they were little and either run with them or try to put them on. because they'd see that I had mine on and other people had glasses on. But have you ever tried to look through somebody else's glasses? Usually we can't see much, can we? Everything looks really crazy and blurry, and sometimes even when you get new glasses, it takes a while for us to adjust them and to be able to see clearly through those. Well, I don't know if God has glasses or not. I'm presuming he doesn't. But he looks at things through a lens that's a little different than our lens. Do you know what I mean by that? Let me explain just a little bit. Sometimes we think that we have it all figured out, don't we? And that maybe somebody's been mean to us in school, or we've had just a bad day where we didn't do as well as we wanted to on an assignment or a test. And instead of getting hollered at or reprimanded, or instead of our teacher failing us, sometimes the teacher will call us up and say, "Why don't we just work together and redo this? Maybe you didn't understand exactly how I meant for this to be done." And we don't expect that, do we, when we get unexpected kindnesses like that? When we expect to be in deep trouble, or when we expect that we maybe haven't been as kind as we should be to someone, that we're going to get the same back. But when people show us kindness, it's kind of like looking through God's lens, because God sees the good in all of us, even when we're not at our best. And he gives us what we call grace and mercy when we really maybe don't deserve it or haven't earned it. Maybe we didn't spend as much time as we should have on our homework or our assignment. Or maybe it was just really extra hard and we didn't do our best. But God understands each one of us, doesn't he? He understands each one of us. And it doesn't always work out that way, but we have to give grace, the same kind of grace that we are given when we're not at our best. God gives us that all the time, doesn't he? He forgives us. He helps us to want to be better next time. Do you kind of understand that? Is that as clear as mud? But we're going to look at things, we're going to try to look at things through God's lens sometimes. And if somebody is unkind to you, maybe it's because something bad has happened in their life. Or maybe it's because, you know, they've had a bad morning. So we have to kind of give grace and look at it through God's lens. Let's have a prayer together, kids. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to give grace, the same kind of grace that we have received so many times. Lord, surround these kids and love them and help them to be great Christian kids, the great Christian kids I know they already are, but help them to persevere and be strengthened, Lord, in your grace as they go about your world in different places at different times, experiencing different things. Lord, help them to show that grace and to be an example of you wherever they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. That's funny.
Our reading this morning comes from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, There we sat around with pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us here into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. In this way, I will test them to see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumblings against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said. You will know that it is the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? We are not grumbling against us. You are grumbling against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of God appearing in a cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight, you will eat meat. And in the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes of frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his words.
Any prayer needs that we have mentioned, many of those already this morning. Do we have unspoken needs here today? Yes. Yes. We are also praying for United Construction this week. That is our business that we want to keep lifted in prayer. The altar is always open. Will you bow with me for a word of prayer? Lord, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit into your house today, for the beautiful sunshine, the beautiful fall day, for helping us to reflect on the many blessings that you bestowed upon us. Lord, we thank you and praise your holy name. Thank you for those that have come into your house today to worship you, for those that are listening in on the radio. We ask that you bless them and keep them. Lord, please speak to our hearts today. Speak through your word. Speak through your scripture, through your presence, through the fellowship that we find within these walls. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our every prayer and knowing what we need, especially those unspoken requests this morning. Lord, hear our hearts. Lift those burdens, Lord. As we enter into this time where we offer back to you our worship and praise, may this all be pleasing to your sight, to your ears, Lord, in your presence. Hear our every petition, and know that we send our love out to many that are recovering from illness, some that have had surgeries and procedures, some that have upcoming procedures. Lord, cover them with your precious hand of healing. Lord, we know that as you breathe a word, that all can be taken care of. That you want the very best for us, Lord. We know that. So, Lord, heal and bind up the wounds of those that are struggling right now. Be here in this worship space, Lord. We pray for our church, for its future, for the days ahead, Lord. We pray that our eyes will never stray from your eyes and your face. Lord, help us to keep our hands connected to yours. Help us, Lord, to be the church in this community for those that need it so much as we do. Lord, we all do. We need a place where we can find a safe haven and a sanctuary. A place where we can come in and feel that rest that you long to give us on the days that we struggle to get through. Allow us, Lord, to bow our hearts and our minds before your throne of grace today. Lord, we pray our intercessory prayers, and we pray, Lord, that you will minister to each one of us. Give us your word today, your word alone, and set your hand upon this altar. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are, all that you have been and continue to be in our lives, as we pray the prayer together that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Someone's certain.
Thank you, choir, for that. Our scripture reading from the New Testament this morning is from Matthew. And speaking of singing, I was really glad to hear you guys clapping this morning. I was thinking last night when I was thinking about Shine, Jesus, Shine, that's just not going to be right without the clapping part. And so that was great. That was great. Matthew this morning, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why are you still been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne and worked the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God. Well, that's not the first time you've heard that scripture, but it never ceases to amaze me how God looks at things through a completely different lens than we do. So much of the time, nearly all of the stories I think that we share here, if Jesus is involved in that, it turns out to be the opposite of what we in our humanness might imagine that it would turn out. I don't know that the outcome would be much different today if Jesus were to do the same thing or the landowner was to do the same thing. I think there would be some unhappy people in line getting their pay if they had spent all day working in the sun and working in the heat and someone came along in an hour and worked an hour and was given the same. How would we feel about that in our jobs? Jesus looks at things through a different lens, as we talked about with the kids this morning. Peter actually posed a question, if we go back into the 19th chapter of Matthew. He says, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Peter wanted to know what reward would be given to those who give up everything to follow Jesus. In response, Jesus explains this truth about the kingdom of heaven. Planting, maintaining, and harvesting vineyards in first century Israel was strenuous work, requiring hard physical labor in that heat of the summer, and we know what that feels like. Often additional laborers were required to get all of that work done. I'm sure they had a time frame with which it was more fruitful to have it done. And if they needed more workers, they would have to find those workers. The owner of this particular vineyard went to the marketplace at the first hour of the morning, probably about 6 o'clock in the morning, to find workers for the day. He offered the wage of one denarius. That would have been a Roman soldier's pay for an entire day. So it was pretty generous. The workers in the first group were more than happy to work for that generous wage. As the day progressed and more workers were hired, the specific wage was not mentioned, as you notice in Scripture. But the landowner, again, promised to pay whatever is right. So it comes to our mind that the workers were sufficiently confident in that landowner's character, and they trusted him at his word that whatever he was going to give them was going to be fair wage. Altogether, four groups of workers were hired that day. The last group just 1 hour before the end of the day. When the time came for the wages to be paid, the first group of workers saw the last group were being paid a denarius and were naturally thinking that they were going to get more since they'd been there all day long. Their anger against the landowner spilled forth when they saw that they were all going to get the same amount, even though they had got exactly what they had agreed upon when they were hired in. The landowner was forced to defend his actions to the first group, even though he had dealt with them in perfect fairness according to the contract that they had spoken. The landowner, whose decision to pay all the workers the same, was an act of mercy, not injustice. And that represents God, whose grace and mercy are shed abundantly upon those of his choosing. You know, the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our needs. He knows what's going on in our lives. And sometimes we look at situations and say, I don't think that's right. Or we make a decision in our own mind. But the Lord truly knows the hearts of those people that he created. He knows what's in there. He knows what's going on. We don't know what was going on in that marketplace. We don't know how long some of those had waited for a job, waited to earn some money. We don't know if there was someone sick within their home that they didn't want to leave at an earlier hour that they were caring for. We don't know if some of them might have been ill themselves. We don't know what their home situation was, if they even had a home. We don't know if they had food on their table. We don't know the scenarios of those different folks that came in that were hired. But I know that nothing happens that there isn't an example for us to learn from. Jesus says to Moses, God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. So it not only deals with wages and income, we're dealing now with God's mercy in other situations as well. God's mercy does not depend on anything but who God chooses to give mercy to. We judge in a different way. We look through a different lens than God looks through. And thank goodness for that. In the matter of salvation, his grace and mercy are given to those whose self-righteous works could never obtain it. We are all sinful and fall short of the glory of God, it tells us in Romans 3:23, but his grace is sufficient to redeem all who believe. whether God calls someone early or late in life to partake of his grace, the glory and praise for our salvation is his and his alone, and in no way amounts to unfairness. I know we talk frequently in Bible studies, and I'm going to get to that in a minute about the thief on the cross, or maybe others in your life that spent their life in different ways than maybe we would have chosen as a Christian to spend their lives. And then maybe on a day when they were laying in bed very sick, very ill, not knowing if they would survive, sometimes there's a heart change. Sometimes in other situations of life, we have a heart change. We know that John Wesley, his heart was strangely warmed, even though he had been doing all the things that he'd been asked to do. He'd been reading scripture up early in the morning, praying consistently. His heart was strangely warmed one day, and he was never the same again because he finally got it. If you were in a cartoon, it would be a light bulb above your head. You see those, you know, in cartoons where all of a sudden the other person gets it. Have you had your light bulb moments in life where you look back and you think, oh my goodness, I don't know why I didn't understand that before? Maybe we weren't looking through the lens of God before. But when your heart is warmed, maybe you've read that same scripture 12 or 15 times before, and all of a sudden you read it and you think, oh my goodness, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. Have you ever said that? That's exactly what I needed today. We begin seeing through the lens of God. The first group of workers in the vineyard resented receiving the same wage as the last group. Their attitude was similar to that of the Pharisees, who were incensed at Jesus' teaching that others could inherit a heavenly kingdom that they thought was reserved for them alone. They despised Jesus for offering the kingdom to the poor, to the oppressed, to the weak sinners, whom he made equal to them. In verse 15, the landowner asks, is your eye evil because I am good? It's from a different version of scripture than I read this morning. The evil eye was a Hebrew expression referring to jealousy and envy. God's goodness and mercy produced in the self-righteous Pharisees the evil eye of envy. You see, they dressed elegantly to be seen and noticed. They acted as if they were better than everyone else. Were judging constantly and wanted to make a spectacle out on the streets of themselves and thought that that would elevate them in respect above all others. The rest of the workers received their wages without complaint or envy of others. In the same way as Christians, we should rejoice when others come to the Savior, as we should rejoice in the service others render to him. You see, there's nothing we can do enough. There's no actions we can take enough to earn our way into the heavenly presence of the Lord. He is faithful to reward us for our services as he has promised. And how he rewards others should be of no consequence to us, nor should it affect our devotion to him. It is totally up to him. And I think, though, because, let me go back just a minute, because I think our hearts are strangely warmed, because that light bulb goes on and we realize the presence of God and what that means for us, it makes us want to serve him in everything we do. It makes us want to do more. So we must understand that too. That as we serve the Lord, it means that we have to step up to the plate. We have to do what God asks us to do. We have to be who he calls us to be. The message in verse 16, the last will be first and the first last, is that no matter how long or hard a believer works during his lifetime, the reward of eternal life will be the same given to all, and eternity in heaven with the presence of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief on the cross, if you want to read about that in Luke 23, whose life of service was limited to a moment of repentance and confession of faith in Christ, he received the same reward of eternal life as others did. Dare I say, even the disciples or others that had gone on before. He received that reward at the moment that he repented. Now, you know, I hate to even bring this up this morning, but before you know it, we're going to be retelling the story of Jesus being born in a stable in Bethlehem. Time goes by so fast, doesn't it? In fact, somebody even dared to mention this morning in KPAC how many weeks there are before. This familiar story doesn't only tell us about the beginning of Jesus' life. It tells us something about the very character of God, because we know about it because of the lens he looks through when he sees us. He sees the potential and not the faults. He sees what we can be rather than the doubts of what we are afraid we might be becoming. It tells us about the very character of God, and it absolutely defies the idea that God exists only in some far, far, far away place. God is here. He's here this morning. He's here in this place. John's gospel says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and lived among us." So Jesus was a flesh and blood human being who lived and breathed and walked on this very earth that we walk. But more than that, even, seeing Jesus Christ as a revelation of God, as the lens through which we see God, tells me that God enters into the reality of our lives, not just once, but over and over again, through the joys, through the trials. It tells me that God holds a deep concern, not only for spiritual matters, but for bodily matters, like hunger and shelter and violence. An embodied God is concerned with the realities that impact our everyday lives. I believe that Jesus' story is God's story and the story of God's own purpose for us. It's a story about the hungry being fed, the stranger being welcomed, the naked being clothed, the sick being cared for, the prisoner being visited. Even though through our eyes, many times those folks are the ones being judged by us, are they deemed worthy for us to go out of our way to clothe them or feed them? Is that prisoner imprisoned because they deserved it and that's where they need to stay? Looking through the eyes of the Lord, looking through the lens of God, we see that as disciples we are called to do just that, to feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, clothe those that are in need, care for our sick, visit our prisoners. It's a story about fellowship that includes absolutely everyone. It's a story where people on the margins of society are invited into the very center. And most of all, it's a story that has no end. A story where death inevitably yields to new life, the opposite of what we would imagine again, where hope wins over despair. To say that Jesus Christ is a revelation of God is to say that Jesus' story is not just something wonderful that happened at one time, a long, long time ago, but we're saying that this story is our story. The story of this church. The story of all of us who call ourselves Christians. It's a story about who we are, who we're called to be, the story of the abundant life that is available to all of us. It's the amazing, wonderful, incredible story of hope. I mentioned to you a week or two ago about a song that I was able to sing with a group in different settings. And I think we've all put ourselves in this place at one time or another. We felt ourselves here. But also, you've probably been on the other side of it as well, giving hope to those who may have felt hopeless. Let's hear this song today.
Emotions run wild.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are, for all that you have been and will be. Thank you for looking through your lens and not ours, and being the God that created us and sustains us and loves us and showers down blessings and mercy and grace. We give you thanks and all of our praise, Lord. Amen and amen. We can have our ushers come forward at this time for our morning offering. Gracious God, you provide bread in the wilderness and life-giving waters in the desert. We offer you our thanks and praise. May our gifts and offerings bless your world, that all might be blessed and all might find purpose and passion through Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is 452, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Thank you. God meets us on our wilderness journeys that we may not journey alone. Christ tends us on our wilderness journeys that we may receive our daily bread. The Spirit sustains us on our wilderness journeys that we may be strengthened for what lies ahead. Go now with God's blessings. Let's sing, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful day.